Hi, and welcome to Thursday Gatherings with Joe and Judy. Sorry we are a little bit late in recording and releasing. Like I mentioned in the last episode, we had VBS at our church, and it is just a completely exhausting week. We have one week where we're just transforming the whole church. We decorate like every room and all the hallways, and it was a rainforest theme, so we made the building look like the inside of a rainforest. At least we tried to make it as immersive as possible. So that's a pretty tiring week. And then we jump right into VBS, and we had around 230 kids attend, over 150 volunteers, and I kind of oversee all of it with two other people. And so it's just constant running around and helping put out fires, as I like to say, so that it can run smoothly and nobody notices anything that shouldn't be happening. It's happening, technology failing, kids having meltdowns, stuff like that, because we have it from age 4 to 5th grade. And so every day I came home and like immediately passed out on my bed and just had no energy, which is why I gave our two viewers that heads up that might be late. So we're going to jump into it today, and we're still trying to figure out what the way the rest of the summer is going to look, because we normally take off August, but we do have a special episode coming up. Well, we're going to try to anyway. We like to have our pastors come in, our pastoral staff come into our group and like answer questions. And so we call it Ask a Pastor. And so we have a pastor, our next pastor on deck, I guess, who's agreed to answer some questions from the young adults. So somehow I'm going to figure out a way to record that or record. I think it'd be cool to record her talking and not just us recapping it like we normally do. But we're still trying to figure that out. And then our number two fans, our number one and number two, actually sent us some questions for another Joe Pinion. So we'll try to do that in August as well. But then there might be a week that we don't have anything. But with all that being said, let's jump in. We only got through one chapter because, I don't know, it took us a while to get through it. And then we had like 15 minutes left, which wasn't enough time to jump into another chapter. So we just kind of caught up with each other instead. So Joe, would you like to recap Isaiah chapter 23?
Sure. In Isaiah chapter 23, it's talking about the prophecy about Tyre. It kind of goes into a little bit of destruction, but then it kind of wraps up into kind of a happy ending for it. So it's kind of an interesting take. Like, it goes through, here's where it's going to be bad, and then here's where it's going to be good. So that was kind of cool. Kind of going into what is Tyre? Where is Tyre? What is going on with Tyre? Tyre was a coastal city off of the Mediterranean Sea, and it was a trade city. A lot of merchants would go through there to sell and buy goods, but it wasn't just like a typical like marketplace. It wasn't your regular everybody can just go there. Like, this was where like royalty, these were like princes, these were your like really wealthy people going in and out of Tyre. And with all that wealth and power came pride. And pride, as we've talked about in the earlier chapters of Isaiah, and they talk about in this chapter, is kind of what the downfall was. They became super proud, and God does not like pride. He wants his people to be humble.
Yeah, and going into, we'll just jump into one of the first things we talked about, you mentioning Tyre. And if, in case you haven't read this chapter yet, which remember, we always strongly suggest you read the chapter, Tyre is T-Y-R-E. And like Joe said, it was a wealthy city, kind of like a port city where business happened. And someone gave a good comparison that because it's a city that has a lot of trading going on, when that city goes down, it affects the surrounding cities.
Yeah, certain goods that you might not be able to get unless it came from one of these other places on the other side of the Mediterranean are now not going to be introduced into this side. So it does impact the business.
And so the comparison was made, oh, it's like when we're choosing to sin and we think we're not hurting anybody around us, much like Tyre, when the sin starts bringing us down, let's say, let's just give one example of addiction, it does affect the others around us, the people that we are in relationship with, either because they're watching us dwindle and make bad decisions that are affecting our lives negatively, or because we're bringing them down with us. So it was kind of a good comparison that I don't even remember who had it, but someone had.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a good comparison. And like, it definitely opened up the door to other things, because where Tyre was kind of, you know, its self-contained thing, after it gets destroyed, it gets destroyed by Babylon. And Babylon, once they kind of came in and exiled everybody, Babylon kind of incorporated their own things around. And I don't think they were too worried about doing trade with people, at least in Tyre. So.
Yeah, and then another thing that we talked about was in verse 15. I'll go ahead and read it. For 70 years, the length of a king's life, Tyre will be forgotten, but then the city will come back to life, as in the song about the prostitute. We'll stop there. We'll get into that prostitute a little bit later, but, well, kind of. But 70 in this circumstance is more symbolic and not literal, and Joe always likes to point out the symbolism behind those numbers.
Yeah, I try to. 70 isn't, it's symbolic in this case in the sense that, like, when we look at years, we know that a year here is 365 days, and then on a leap year, it's 366.
It's 365 days and a quarter every year.
Right. And so, but we have to keep in mind that we follow the Gregorian calendar, which came around in, like, what, I believe the 1500s. And before that was the Julian calendar, which kind of started, like, right before, you know, AD. So, like, I think, like, 45 BC or something. Don't quote me on those numbers. This is ballpark figures here. But as far as, like, them talking, and it says right here, the 70 years of the span of a king's life, that a lot of biblical scholars believe that some of these events that took place, 70 years is like a rough estimate. It's not exact math, not necessarily. But they did follow things like, how long did this king live? In the case of the king that would end up sacking most of that region, including Tyre, that was King Nebuchadnezzar. And I believe his reign was around 70 years. Again, don't quote me on that. I don't know that for a fact. That's a ballpark figure.
But you also liked...
Oh, the symbolism as far as numbers go, yeah. So we'll get back into that. You're going to find throughout the Bible just numbers that just keep popping up over and over again. 3 would be a number of that. 7, 12. Those are really the big ones. Jesus died and rose again after 3 days. Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. God created, you know, everything in 7 days. Jesus called the 12. There was 12 tribes of Israel. So you'll see numbers that just repeat a lot. So in this case, 70 itself is not as significant, but the fact that there is a 7 in there is. So, you know, 10 times 7.
Yeah, he just, anytime there's a 7 in any kind of number, or he likes to always bring up symbolism.
Always look for the connection.
So back into, I guess we weren't really getting into prostitutes, but it did at the end of that one, it says, but then the city will come back to life, as in the song about the prostitute. And then it goes into verse 16, take a harp and walk the streets, you forgotten harlot. Make sweet melody and sing your song so you will be remembered again. Yes, after 70 years, the Lord will revive Tyre, but she will be no different than she was before. She will again be a prostitute to all kingdoms around the world. But in the end, her profits will be given to the Lord. Her wealth will not be hoarded, but will provide good food and fine clothing for the Lord's priests. I just read all the way to the end, which was through verse 18. And my translation, I kind of like, I have to remember the NLT, because it said, you forgotten harlot. But Joe's, yours is like less extreme. I feel like mine's pretty extreme.
Just being like, you forgotten harlot, it sounds aggressive.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
But my mind, verse 16 is, take up a harp, walk through the city, O prostitute forgotten. play the harp well, sing many a song, so that you will be remembered. So it's still not good, but I feel like it's a little less aggressive.
Yeah, mine was definitely very aggressive, especially when you read it like you've forgotten harlot, which is like the only way I can read it, because that's how it sounds like it should be read to me.
But it is interesting that when they talk about it, that Tyre will ultimately go back to its trading ways and how it written is. Like, I mean, we think about the symbolization of using a prostitute. It's doing not so great things for money. So who knows what all is being traded in Tyre. I think I made the commoner joke with the group about, you know, hey, what happens in Tyre stays in Tyre, you know. So but ultimately the final verses of it, yet her profit and her earnings will be set apart for the Lord. They will not be stored up or hoarded. Her profits will go to those who live before the Lord for abundant food and fine clothes. So it's like you're still going to have like the rich people going there to do business and trade, but you're going to have some of God's own people that are going to kind of benefit from some of it. Maybe not necessarily in the trade, but I don't know. I can't speak to how they benefit from it, but we can take that as they did benefit from it.
Yeah. And then we got off on a little bit of a tangent because we were talking about pride. I think you mentioned when you were giving a summary that Tyre is a proud city, and that's a sin that God does not, well, he doesn't really appreciate any sin, but pride is what all the cities, not all of them, but what we've read about many times is these prideful cities. They're like successful or for whatever reason think they're untouchable and refuse to listen to God when he's telling them to repent and stop being so prideful and boastful, and they don't. And now he's done giving them chances.
Yeah, it's hard to be in the position of like the prideful city, because they're thinking to themselves, I'm successful. I have money, I have power, I have all the wealth that I would ever want. I can't possibly be doing anything wrong if I'm getting what I want. And they get this mentality of I am better than, and it's not through God that I got this abundance of resource. It's my own whatever I did, me, I'm the reason I got this wealth.
Yeah, and so we talked about pride versus being proud. Like, when is it okay to be proud of yourself? When does it become pride and more sinful in nature? And the me is like kind of a culture we're living in now, where like social media and influences are telling everybody, no, it's about you. It's about what you want. It's about what you feel. It's about how people treat you. And so it's easy to get like trapped into this, I'm the most important thing. What everything that I feel matters more than anything else. And that's when it starts to become a problem.
Yeah. People have become their own idol. And part of that being your own idol is I got to where I am because of me, not because God gave me those opportunities to rise to the occasion. I'd say I do have to constantly do like an ego check when I go to work. Like, I'm good at what I do. I'm starting to have success where I'm at. And I do have to give it back to God. God gave me the opportunities to rise to this occasion. It's not just me.
Yeah. And even, I mean, we try to really give glory to God, like verbally, when things are going right in our life, people ask us like, oh, well, that's only because of God. I mean, even the latest instance, which seems minuscule, but it's not, is our almost 4-year-old, who'll be 4 on Tuesday, got into preschool at the same school his sister goes to. And it's not because I submitted my application with all the paperwork on time. It's because I didn't think he was going to get in. There's very few spots. And I didn't think I would know this early. And I was pretty stressed about finding him a preschool within the next month so that he'd have somewhere to go for the school year, especially since VBS was so time consuming. And getting the acceptance letter was a huge relief. And I just gave all the glory to God that he took the burden of finding a preschool off of me, that he, you know, like that there was even a position for our son was like kind of miraculous in our eyes. And so just making sure that we recognize that the positive things happening for us are because of God.
Absolutely. One of the guys in our group, he and I were kind of having like a sidebar conversation about pride, and he wasn't present when we did chapter 22. And one of the characters in 22 kind of definitely shows a little bit of pride. And I'm going to read kind of a snippet of that. So this is Isaiah 22, verse, this is 15. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Go say to this steward, to Shebna, who is in charge of the palace, what are you doing here, and who gave you permission to cut out a grave for yourself here, hewing your grave on the height and chiseling your resting place in the rock? What's interesting about that was, I mean, you can always listen to the last episode that we did talking about Isaiah, but this was a steward. So this is somebody that was in power that got super, like, just caught up in that. And I would say proud and prideful, hence why he was trying to essentially erect a monument to himself instead of doing his job. And God said, get this guy out of there and get Eliakim in, who's going to better serve the people and do the job. I imagine Eliakim was probably a little more humble and didn't let the power corrupt and go to his brain. So,
yeah, and I think we agreed that when you're proud of an accomplishment because of the hard work you put into it, that's not a sin. You're allowed to be proud of your hard work. You're allowed to be proud of advancements in your job when you worked hard to achieve them. It's when it starts becoming your life and you're boastful about it and you're no longer giving glory to God, that's when you really need to kind of do some self-reflection and maybe take a step back.
Okay, one of the checks I have is anytime you try to use your position and hold it over people and think less of them because of your position, I'd say that is a level of pride there that you need to have a little bit of a check. Some of the masters of different trades that I have met have been some of the most humble guys I've also ever met. You wouldn't know they are a master of their trade until they spoke about their trade. They do not go, I know this because I've been doing it for 50 years. Those are the people that I think kind of less of. These guys are the ones that will say, oh, what do you think about this? And then they chime in, they'll give you the answers, but it's nice and subtle and slow.
Yeah, I think that that's all I have in my notes. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Pride is definitely a sin that we see multiple times throughout Isaiah and honestly multiple times throughout the Bible. God does not like prideful people. He wants his people to be humble. So there's nothing wrong with being good at something, but how you apply it, how you use it, and like, are you worshiping it? Really kind of do your own self-evaluation and see where it stacks up in your life and see what you're doing. Are you a good steward of whatever talent or whatever position you have? Because that is what ultimately God wants us to be, is good stewards of the resources that he gives us.
And there you have it. That was what we ended our tangent on before we concluded the reading for the night. So we will jump into Isaiah 24 next week.
Jesus loves everybody. That's including you.